take authority over every demonic spirit, every foul spirit that would try to hinder or stop the Word of God from having free course and free reign, even in this congregation and those that are watching by way of TV, internet, or whatever device or way that they are watching. And Father, I pray that Your Word, Heavenly Father God, brings light, Heavenly Father, brings illumination. And I thank You and I praise You, Heavenly Father, that You help me to minister this in such a way that grace is brought to the ears, and that, Father, that we receive this Word, Heavenly Father God, that we can grow thereby. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say get after it. Three people. The rest of you will come right along here in a minute. But I was meditating on this, been meditating it. It's been really marinating since about March the 11th is when the Lord just dropped one phrase into my thinking, into my spirit. And I've meditated on it for a while, thought about it, have made notes on it, made different notes on it, made more notes on it. But anyhow, this is what the Lord says. In reference to what's going on, how many of you have been watching the news? Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. Some of that news you just have to watch, okay? You got to have a discerning ear to hear what's being said. Because if it's fear-based, fear-mongering, it's not of God. It's a way that they try to get you captivated, try to get you into the way of thinking, to where that you think that you've got no way out. You think that it's not going to get any better than this. So having said that, with many different people, family, friends, conversations, they've come up, and I've heard my family and my friends say, it's a bad time. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a dark time. However, there's light in the darkness. And light, darkness will never overcome the light. As long as the Spirit of the Lord is here and as long as the church is here, light's going to prevail. Amen. So just keep that in mind and bear that in mind. But, you know, I heard people say this. I just wish the Lord would come and take me home right now. Or, I can't see myself getting any better. I mean, their imagination, their thinking is darkened by what they're hearing out there in the world. They're consumed by what the world says. And even religion has a narrative out there on eschatology, end times, that I think is not totally correct, you know. And we may get into some of that tonight. We may not. But again, God has a redemptive element. He has a redemptive plan. I heard one person say that when Israel is surrounded by all these nations, you better look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Well, it's always good to look up. It's always good to be repentive, you know. You know, you're talking about the eclipse and stuff like that. People thought that, you know, there was going to be great judgment brought against the United States, and California was going to fall off into the sea or the ocean, and New York City was going to be burned to a crisp, but it didn't happen. And that's the reason why that we as Christians have got to be established in what the Word of God says. So in relation to those conversations, you know, my conversation is this. I said, and this is what the Lord told me to tell him. He says, I had a plan. I've got a plan. So, and he says, but what about this life? You know, people, he says this. He says, what about this life? I have a plan. And he says, some of my people have such an escapism mentality because they either don't know my plan or they've not renewed their mind to my plan. So tonight I plan to get into God's plan and bring it from Genesis all the way through. And I'll give you just some of the bullet points. I may not get through every one of them tonight. Somebody said, praise God. This thing kept getting bigger. The first one is, God has an original plan. That's the first bullet point. The second bullet point is, God planned the coming of Christ and the return of the blessing. the sick. In that, it's God's plan for the redemption after Adam's transgression. The third bullet point is God planned for his family to live and thrive. The fourth bullet point is God planned for the glorious church. The fifth one is God has plans for his families to rule and reign. The sixth, and not necessarily the last one, but God has planned for the generations to follow. Your seed, my seed, amen. Until the trumpet blows, until the Lord actually does return and split the eastern sky, which I believe is several years on down the road. But, when I look at it from my life, I'm right now 70 years old. Somebody says, boy, you're getting old. You're old as dirt. I knew you would say that. But really, when you look at it, this is our set time. This is the time that God has put you and me on this earth. And we have a purpose and we have a plan. Amen. Now, and I've said this, Genesis 6:3 says that man's years will be 120 years. And somebody's out there saying, I know they're saying, no, 70 and 80. No, that's Psalms or Proverbs. And that's where God had to judge the 11 spies and their generation because of their unbelief and bad report, where they didn't agree with the Word of God. So that generation was wiped out. But then you had Joshua and Caleb come in and take the 20-year-olds from their generations on up over into the promised land. So we're headed to a promised land, but we're also have a promise in this life. And some people, we, the church, need to realize what this plan is. Amen? Okay, let's get into it. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 26. When you get there, say amen. I ain't heard nobody. Did anybody bring your Bibles? Hallelujah. Did anybody bring your devices? All right. Are you there? You know, when you're talking about a plan, this is the definition that God gave me about a plan. It is a detailed proposal or a design of something planned in advance. So God has had a plan from the very beginning, even before the foundation of the world. We'll find that out shortly, hopefully. Because he says that even before the foundation of the world, I knew you. So he planned for us to be here at this particular time. He didn't plan for us to lay back and to be like rope-a-dope, get knocked into the corner and just sit there and take beatings and, be beat up and all that stuff. He planned for the church to rise up in power and in domination and subdue. We'll read that here in just a minute. But the church's mentality seems like because of religion, because they don't see themselves or we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. And we don't recognize and realize that even before the foundation of the world, that in God himself was his family, man. That's the reason why that Satan rebelled against God in Genesis 1 and 2. Amen. God stood in the edge of that void and darkness that was created by Lucifer's rebellion. And he looked and he had this in his mind. He was not going to allow darkness to determine how that his family, his creation, even what it would look like. Darkness was not going to determine the environment that we lived in. And that's the reason why in Genesis 2 and 3 he says, light be. Amen. So light will always overcome the darkness. And we'll find out that darkness will always give way to the light. So Christians, we are the light of the world. We are more than conquerors. We are God's ambassadors and we are his representatives. So we need to represent him well. And to do that, we need to understand the position, the place that God has placed us in. Satan got mad because he realized that he was going to be under man's authority. Instead of him being up there, kind of, he wasn't a co-laborer with God. He was just an anointed angel, anointed cherub, who God used to help create. But anyhow, he failed. Amen. So that war has been raging ever since, and that's the reason why that he tempted Adam. Are you in Genesis 1? Are you in verses 26? And God said, who said? God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all of the earth. Say, over all the earth. The earth doesn't belong to the devil and his crowd. Somebody said, oh, no, it don't belong to him. Now, the world system, because of the transgression, that's where Satan has his advantage and his power, because he uses and manipulates mankind. And if he can get a Christian to fall into that trap, he'll use and manipulate you too. Amen. But he says, he's gave us dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing and everything that creepeth upon the earth. And there's a lot of creeps running around in the earth. Amen. Right now. And they're doing it all in the name of democracy. Amen. All in the name of financial freedom and liberty. But it's at the expense of children. It's at the expense of us. It's at the expense of the church. The church has been deemed unnecessary by this sect, by this group of people. And for a certain extent, some of the churches has bought into that. They believe that they're non-existent. They're not powerful. That they're not, they're not going to do any good. When God's made it to where that he's going to use us to bring his kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's a prayer that you can pray every day, the whole prayer. And it will be used against the demonic forces that are trying to wrap this thing up and bring in the end of the end times before their time. Satan is going to have a time, but it's not supposed to be now. Every generation has the opportunity to hold back the Antichrist from coming in and setting up his reign. That's what our job is. We are to stop that from happening. But in order to do that, the church has got to arise and become a glorious church. In verse 27, he says, so God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. But basically what you're looking at there is God, when he made his family of man and placed them in the garden, he placed them in that garden under a blessing, or under the blessing. If you'll look and if you'll read your Bible, up until the time that Adam transgressed, there was no evil. There was no bad things. The trees didn't produce rotten fruit. Nobody got sick. Adam had everything he needed to eat. And God was visiting him almost on a daily, hourly basis, downloading into him through revelation knowledge his plan. But Adam transgressed, right? Let me read you these just a couple things, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 3. I believe we'll do that in the next one. But he says, when he declared light be, it was more than just daylight. It was more than just sun. This was declaring that Jesus Christ, his son, was going to be coming. Amen. Jesus was the light of the world, John 1 said. He was in the beginning, from the beginning. And it says that the darkness comprehended it not. That means that the darkness tried to hold it down, tried to grasp hold of it, but darkness could not keep that from coming. Amen. Could not keep Jesus from coming. He's not going to be able to keep us, the glorious church, from arising to our place of prominence and position. We have a responsibility to our following generations, to my son. He has a responsibility to his son. And then they have a responsibility to their son. Somebody say, well, is it going to last that long? I don't know. You know, Jesus don't know when the Lord's coming back or when God's going to tell him to come back. But I believe it's going to be longer than what most people think. I do believe that from what I study, from what I read. And here is, I'm going to read these again. Here are some events that have yet to be happening. You know, a lot of churches are teaching that everything for the Lord to come back, everything necessary has already happened. No, it's not. According to Habakkuk 2:14, there is a promise of God's glory filling this earth. Is the glory of God, has it filled the earth yet? Huh? Answer me. Has God's glory, has it filled the earth? No. All right. John 14:11-13. There's God's promise of the greater works by the church. Is the church doing greater works? No. You all can speak up. It'll be all right. The devil might get mad, but religion might get mad, but who cares? Isaiah 61:11. God's got a promise here of causing righteousness to spring forth before all nations. Not just one or two, all nations. Proverbs 13:22. Isaiah 60:61. There's a promise of the wealth transfer from the sinner to the just. Are you just? Are you righteous? Let me see your hands. Man, stand up. Praise God. I mean, it's your time to stand up. I mean, it's your time to put the devil in his place. Ephesians 1, that's in my notes. Don't know if I'll get there, but we'll get to where we can stop. And, you know, but basically what I want to bring and put into our mind is that God's plan from the very beginning, he has planned for us to be a participator and a co-laborer with him to bring his glory here upon the earth. And instead of unrighteousness ruling, reigning, and prevailing, the church arising, we put responsible, moral people into the positions of authority. In our economics, I've said this before, in our education, in our churches, in our entertainment, the seven mountains of society, in our finances. Somebody who won't take advantage of us, who won't sell us out like they're doing right now. They call it a soft invasion. No, it's not soft, man. This is an outright invasion. Amen. But that's because the people that we have elected, you know, they're not doing the will of the people. Amen. And here's another thing, too, that the Lord reminded me of. He says, we keep, because of affiliations with family, affiliations with parties, affiliations with what's been taught and trained to us, instead of affiliating with what the Word of God says, we keep putting those same people back into office. And we need to change that, you know. We need to change that. We need to do what's right and vote the Bible. Amen. Another thing and I said this before in Genesis 1, I think it's in verse 28, he introduces the blessing. Amen. I'm going to jump to Genesis 3, but I'm not going to actually read it. But how many of you remember when God was talking to Adam and he was telling him that they may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they're not supposed to eat it. How many of you remember reading that? That's actually, you know, God doesn't want robots. He wants people of their own free will and of their own free choice, free and moral agent, to choose and distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. And it's not what the world thinks is right. It's what God's righteousness is. So that's the reason why the church has got to become not just familiar, but they've got to know the Word of God. They've got to know God himself, his way of thinking, his way of acting, and his way of doing. Amen. But in Genesis chapter 3, this is actually covenant talk. He's actually setting forth what you'll read in Deuteronomy about blessing and cursing. Amen. Because God sets up a system. It's called the government of God, to where it's based on seed, plant, and harvest. So what you sow is what a man will reap. Amen. If you sow good, you'll receive good. If you sow bad, you'll get bad, you know. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll receive life. So in this, he was teaching Adam to worship the Lord. This is tithes. This is offering. That's what this is. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was actually the tithe tree. That was God's. It had fruit on it. But just like us, we bring the tenth into the Lord. Adam and Eve was supposed to bring God's fruit to him and produce an offering which was hallowed, holy. But the devil used the serpent, and he was very, very subtle, and he went to Eve. Now, she said that, yeah, we can eat of every tree, but they said, we can't eat of that one. We can't even touch it lest we die. Well, God didn't say that. But he convinced her, the serpent convinced her to take a bite of the fruit. I'm going to say this. It's a fig tree. It ain't an apple tree. It's a fig tree. Because that's what Jesus cursed in Mark 11:23. And that's what they dressed themselves with after the fall. The fig tree. That's a side note. But anyhow, she ate of that fruit. And she hands it over to Adam, who was with her. Did we just not read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, in God's plan, how that man was supposed to have dominion, how that man was supposed to subdue everything? Okay, God didn't tell Eve, he told Adam. Adam transgressed, the woman didn't. So Adam's at fault more than the woman, because he had the opportunity to straighten it up. But he didn't. And that's the reason why that in Genesis 1, verse 2 and 3, that the prophecy come forth about light be. God knew that he was going to have to send his son Jesus. This was always plan A. There was never a plan B. Jesus was always going to come. He was the one that was going to redeem mankind. And we'll find out later that after, we'll find out that Adam brought the curse. Amen. That's when death come in. That's when murder come in. That's when sickness and disease come in. Everything totally opposite of what God's initial and original plan was. Everything opposite come of that because of the curse that Adam brought in. But Jesus brought back the blessing. So his initial plan is for us to operate even today in this church, in the whole body of Christ, to become aware of the blessing and the covenant of the blessing that we are under. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now, I don't have this one up there, Melinda, I'm sorry, but it just came to my heart. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, you're not walking after the natural lifestyle. You're not walking after the old man that you used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 says that you're a new creation. That's the Spirit that he's talking about walking after. You've been born with the Spirit of God. So there's no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. 8:2 says, for the law of life in Jesus has set us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now that's what Adam did when he transgressed. The curse come in and sin and death started to rule and started to reign. But now the blessing is back in operation. It's always been there, should have been there. That's what God's initial plan was, and that's the reason why, another reason why that Jesus came. Because he doesn't want the church operating under a curse. He doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to be poor. He doesn't want us to be disgusted, busted, and can't be trusted. He wants us living the high life. How many of you have read Deuteronomy 28? Let me see your hands. It's talking about the promises of obedience. because you hearken unto my voice and because you keep my commandments, these blessings will come upon you. And the first thing he says, I'm going to set you on high above all nations. All nations. Pastors talked about how that we're grafted in and adopted with Israel. God wants to make an example and set an example through the church that the world can see the goodness of God and want what He has for the church to do. So the church, our eyes have to be opened up to the goodness of God. We have to understand that it's God's good pleasure to give us the keys to the kingdom of God. And it's God's good pleasure to bless you, not to curse you. He's not up there with a ball bat because you do mess up that He's going to bust your kneecaps and take you out. I've heard things like, He'll burn your house down just to teach you a lesson. He'll put you flat on the back and make you look right straight up so that you have to look up at Him. Poppycock. Crap. That is nothing, nowhere near the blessing. So the first point, the first bullet point is this. God introduced the blessing, and then He has a family that He was teaching before Adam transgressed to think, talk, and act like he did. Now that's what He was showing Adam as they would come in to the garden and would speak to him. He was downloading into him God's knowledge, His knowledge, revelation knowledge. Now, when Adam fell, he fell from revelation knowledge to carnal knowledge. And it's sad to say that most of the church operate in a carnal knowledge way, mentality. And what I mean by that is that everything that they determine to do, it's not made from the new creation standpoint. The decisions are not made from that standpoint. They're made from the old Rick or the old Pastor Mike or the old you, the old, you know. You're making those by what you see, feel, touch, taste, and hear. That's where Adam fell, to the sense realm. But there was a sixth sense that he had when he was, before he transgressed. That was revelation knowledge. That was spirit to spirit. So that's what we've got today through the new birth, through Jesus Christ, through our new covenant, through God's initial and original plan, bringing the blessing back into play, and for the church to arise and to wise up and to make your decisions based on what the Spirit of the Lord says and have common sense. You know, you're not throwing that out. You know, so we have a plan. God has a plan, and we have a role to play in this plan, and the church needs to rise up to it. So, the definition of a plan is, it was a desire that God had in His heart from the very beginning. It was intentional. Wasn't nothing haphazard about it. Nothing haphazard about it. You're not here just because of happen chance. You know, I don't care if you come through a broken marriage. I don't care if you're a single child, you know, that was raised, or a child that was raised by a single parent. It was no accident. God planned for you. We'll find that out if I get that far. I ain't even out of the first bullet point yet, but. Do you understand what I'm not trying to invoke an amen. I am endeavoring by the Spirit to get us to understand that we are so much more than what we appear to be. We are so much more than what we act like. We're so much more than we appear to be. But because we don't have that knowledge, and the Bible talks about it being a higher knowledge, a knowledge of the divine, even the nature that we receive, it's a divine nature. It's not a fallen nature. But we act like mere men. We talk like mere men. We don't realize or haven't fully realized yet that the words that we speak, they're life or they're death. You don't understand that the thoughts that you think, their life or their death. And that's the reason why that God says to cast down every thought and every imagination. Bring it into captivity to the Word, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You just can't let a thought prevail over your head. Like Kenneth Hagin said, the bird may come over and put a nest or try to put a nest in your hair, but you don't have to sit there and let it. You gotta flee it off, get it off. Because if you don't cast down an evil thought, your imagination will grab a hold of that and become dark. And the Bible says that the God of this world has people blinded because of the darkness of their mind. They've alienated themselves. God doesn't want the church to be alienated, does not want our mind to be dark. It's light. We have light. So we need to be the children of the light. We need to rise up. God's called this church for this area. You know, and I've said it before, we're just not another social event. We're just not another social gathering. Just to say we come in and click the box, we had church. Purpose and a reason. God has a plan. He's had a plan for a long time, but he's been looking for people who will line up under the pastoral office, who will line up under the leadership, and will come together in unity and harmony and impact this church or impact this area, not with this church, but with the Word of God, with the gospel of the kingdom. It's just not a fivefold ministry thing. It's the working of the ministry. The ministry is supposed to work together. And we go out of these doors taking what we've received into your area of influence, and you tell them about the goodness of God. Not just tell them, but our lives are supposed to demonstrate. If we say that we're blessed, we need to demonstrate that we're blessed. If we say that we're healed, we need to demonstrate that we're healed. Pastor said this the other day, and it's part of this message, and I think Brother Kenny Cowan said it. He said, has anybody ever thought about divine health and divine prosperity? I have. I mean, the Bible teaches that. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they had divine health. They had divine prosperity. They didn't lack for nothing. They weren't sick. The church is not supposed to be sick. The church is not supposed to be broke. We're supposed to be the most powerful entity on the earth with enough substance, enough financial backing to where whatever the need is, we stop havoc from coming into people's lives. Now, the first place that we got to learn to do that is right here in this body, in this church. The Bible talks about having the same care one for another. The same compassion. And he says, it basically says this. This is not in my notes either, Linda. But he says that we're not supposed to so much as check on our needs and look upon our needs, but we're to look over here to a brother's and sister's need. And if we've got the substance, if we've got the ways of meeting that need, we need to meet that need. You remember in the book of Acts where that they prayed and they had all things common? And nobody thought that the things that they had was their own, but they gave to the necessity of the saints. Why was that? Because they loved God. They had the love of God in it. They had been through so much. They had actually prayed because of the affliction that they were going through. And the Bible says the place that they prayed was shaken. We're praying every Tuesday night for this place to be shaken, for this area to be shaken. Amen. But it says that they all went out and said, now, Father, notice their threatenings. Notice what they're saying and what they're doing. And extend your hand and do mighty signs and wonders and miracles be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. The church, we need to come to a place in this body and, you know, the body of Christ is more than just us right here. denomination is nothing more than something that the devil uses to divide the body of Christ and to keep us from coming together in unity and harmony. Our agreement needs to be on what the Word says. But sometimes you've got people in there that have a big, I guess they think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, and they don't want to go any farther in any revelation. They want to stop and build a camp in a particular area, in a particular revelation, when God says, let everything be established from glory to glory, here a little, there a little. Every revelation that came all the way up through, including the Pentecostal, including the baptism in the Holy Spirit, including the gifts of the Spirit, are supposed to be built upon. And we're supposed to move along in that. Getting back to what I was saying, though, the church's mentality, we need to come to that place and the position where we know what God's plan is and not be moved what the world says is happening. We have such a spirit on the inside of us. The Bible says, I don't have this in my notes either, Linda, but God, and I'm still in bullet point one. God says that we have an unction from the Holy Spirit and that we know all things. The church needs to utilize that. They need to grow up in becoming more intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Myself, I'd been praying, God, increase the frequency of your presence in my life. And I'd prayed that several mornings and God showed up. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, if I want his frequency increased in my life, I need to increase my frequency of my presence in his life. So how do you do that? Through the Word, study the Word, know the Word, through prayer, through setting aside time, through not allowing hobbies, habits, and just different things take up all of your time. And we're not against those things here. But we need to put God, make him the preeminence in their life. Above education, bring your kids into the knowing knowledge that church, you know, we go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and that should be a staple. Not just by chance, if we don't have anything to do on a Wednesday or a Sunday, we should be coming to church. Amen. And I'm not trying to throw stones at people. I'm just saying we've almost put God on a back burner because we don't know his plan. We don't fully understand his plan. So I'm going to move along, I think. God has a plan. I talked to you about the curse, how the curse came, right? How Adam sinned, and it wasn't necessarily Eve, but it was Adam. He had the responsibility, but he didn't do it. And that's the prompting, and that's part of the prophetic in the Word of God where Jesus was going to come to the earth and redeem mankind. Amen? So, Galatians 3:13, have you got that one, Melinda? I think I'll move on to that one. Yeah. Say, Christ has redeemed me. All right, all together. All together. Say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. What law is he talking about? The law of sin and death that Adam brought in. Being made a curse for me. You can say that too. Being made a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14. That the blessing, remember that's what I'm talking about. That was God's initial plan. The blessing. If you capitalize the blessing, every letter in your Bible, even if you make notes, capitalize that and put it, it'd be like an earmark for you to thank the blessing. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Well, Brother Rick, you're talking about the blessing of Abraham. That's the same blessing that Adam started out in under. Amen. But God worked through his covenant to bring a place to where Abraham would become the father of our faith, because he would give his son, and so that as a result of that, which was like an imprint, God would give his son. Amen. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay? Say, the blessing of the Lord is upon me. Say, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh me rich. That's not what I say. That's what the Word says. Psalms 3 and 8 says, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. Right? Proverbs 10:22 says that blessing is supposed to make you rich. But brother, I thought we were supposed to be poor. I thought we were supposed to take a vow of poverty. Again, I say poppycock. No, that's religion. That's traditions of men. That's old wives' tales. That's not what the Word of God says. God says, I want you rich, and the reason why he wants us to be rich is so that we can promote the kingdom from generation to generation. Amen. And don't give an open door to the devil to come in like he did with Adam and transgress and sell yourself out, sell your salvation out, like Judas did. Amen. The reason why that God wants riches, and think about it, that's all the world's after. They're after riches. It's all about money. But it's a greedy motive, not a motive of love. God intended mankind to have no lack of anything. He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. Shalom, shalom. Means nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken or damaged. Well, Brother Rick, why is it broken and damaged? You got to know your covenant. You got to walk in faith. You got to apply your faith. Faith is what gives you the victory to overcome the world. Faith is what brought me through stage 4 colon cancer, 24 rounds of chemo, 36 rounds of radiation. When the doctor come out and told my family, we almost sewed him back up. Because instead of getting a little tumor that big, that's what they seen in June. And by the time that everything was scheduled to go through in July, 1 month later, it went from stage 2 to stage 4. And the tumor come out, they said, between the size of a softball and a football. And had on the inside of me had started metastasizing, which means it started growing tentacles and growing like an octopus in there. And the devil was trying to kill me because he knew I realized and recognized what I had and who I was. But God, that's what faith does. Faith will cause you to overcome the obstacles, the bad things, the curse that still operates in the world. The curse is still, he didn't do away with the curse. He just gave us the means by which we could override the curse, kind of like the law of lift over the law of gravity on an airplane. You get enough speed behind your airplane and the wings, and that speed with the force of the air coming over the airplanes will lift you above the pull of gravity. Well, that's what faith will do in the blessing. It will bring you and raise you above the curse and everything that comes with the curse. Amen. So, I'm going to do one more, then I think I'm going to stop and just let you chew on that for a while. Okay? I believe that's the thing that needs to be done. At least that's the way I'm being led to do it. And one thing I want you to remember, darkness will never overcome light. You can do your own experiment at the house. Make everything dark in your house and turn your light on your phone. See how much illumination that it gives you. God never intended for darkness to rule and reign on the earth. He intended for light. And the Bible says we are light in this world. So keep that in your mind and turn to Jeremiah 29:11. I think I better get there too. Well, Melinda is quick up there, isn't she, with those? They're good. Notice in some translations, in this one, it's a King James, but I've looked at other King James, and they've got the word, instead of thoughts, they've got plans. And in other translations, like in the Amplified, and I'll just read it out of the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans. Now, what was I talking about at the beginning? God's initial, original plan. His original blueprint for mankind, his family to operate in. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of welfare. That's not talking about the government system on welfare. It's prosperity. Amen. The government falls way short, and they make slaves out of mankind when God makes overcomers. Amen. Now, if you're on welfare and you need it, praise God. But don't look to it as your only source and your final source. That word welfare means prosperity. In my notes, I've got, for I know the plan that I have for you. Say, God's got a plan for me. Say, I believe it. I receive it. I'm going to dig after it. I'm going to find it. And I'm going to walk in it to perfection. I'm going to walk in that blessing and overcome the curse that God has already provided for me to do. And he says, plans of peace, not evil. A lot of religion, a lot of traditions of men, they teach you that God will kill you. You know, God will cut your legs out from under you. You know, that's evil. God's absolutely good. Amen. He says, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. What is hope? It's a confident expectation. If there's things adverse in your life that's contrary to this word and to the blessing, that confident is hope is this, that if I apply my faith and I find out and realize the plan of God, and I put God's plan in action in my life, then I have a future. Not just to go home and be with God in heaven, but I have a future on this earth of a good life. How many promises have you looked at about having a rich, long life? With long life, length of days, will I satisfy you, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. So, look for the blessing. Look it up. Look it up in your Bible. Determine that you're not going to walk the same way that you walk. As you come in today, you're not going to be the same. Not with this message. It's not because I taught it or I preached it. It's because God is striking something inside your spirit. He has already put something in there for you to rise up and to become a glorious church member. Not just here at New Generation Church, but a member in his body, to where the curse don't operate in their life and where people will look at you and say, I want what you got. So you can tell them, just like I'm getting ready to tell you now, the first step that you have to do in order to walk in this blessing is that you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What does that mean, Brother Rick? That means that you have to accept Jesus' sacrifice. The Bible says that he laid down his life for mankind in one place. It says that he was raised for our justification. We teach this all the time. If a man will believe in his heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and confess with his mouth That mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. So that's the first thing. You need to become a born-again Christian. And then the second thing is this. It's in Romans 12. It says to renew your mind. So you need to start renewing your mind to the Word, to the blessing, and look at it. And the reason why that you want to renew your mind is because as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. Your perception, I said this before, determines your destiny. What you think upon becomes a part of your life. If it's negative and contrary to the Word of God, that's what's going to become a part of your life. But if it's from the Word of God and there's life in this Word, then that's going to become a part of your life. And you're going to be a better man today than you were yesterday. You're going to be a better man or a better person tomorrow than you were today. Amen. Because you're going to be going from glory to glory. Amen. So, I've closed my Bible. I have finished what the Lord wants me to say for tonight. We may start at some other time. But right now, I want you to stand up. And I'm just going to ask you, and even though I may see you as part of the New Generation Church family, how is it with your soul? How is it with your life? Is everything okay? Is there a sin? Is there a weight? The Bible says, lay aside every sin and every weight that would so easily beset you and start running this race. Amen. And run it as you want to win, because you want to win the prize. Let me see the hands of everybody says, everything's okay with me and the Lord. Amen. If you couldn't raise your hand, it can be. You can come and rededicate your life. You can come and say, this, I have a spirit of lust, or say, I'm a greedy person. I mean, you know, sin is sin to God. There's not one big sin and one little sin. It's all sin. Amen. What if there's anything, and I pray this is what Pastor teaches, that you do live a repentative lifestyle, but it's not that you plan or you practice sin, but it's just from time to time you may miss the mark. Or as you're going along in your Christian growth and you're learning, something will be revealed to say, this has been my life. I need to get it out of my life. So that's where repentance comes in. And thank God for the grace of God. Amen. All hearts, mind, and clear. Does anybody need prayer for anything?